Welcome to the Drama Teacher Podcast, brought to you by Theater Folk, the Drama Teacher Resource Company. I'm Lindsay Price. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. This is episode 178, and you can find any links to this episode in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode178. Today is for... Okay, so today we are talking tech and putting together a tech theater unit. Hands up. How many of you fear tech? How many of you avoid including it in your program? Well, our podcast guest today was in the exact same boat as you, and now he is a total tech convert. So let's get to it. All right, I am speaking with Josh Hatt. Hello, Josh.
Hello, Lindsay.
All right, tell everybody in the world where you are right now.
I am starting my second year at an international school in Shanghai, China.
I love the internet. Not always, but we had a little difficulty connecting, but we're here now, and I think it's amazing. It's evening where I am and morning where you are.
Yes. It's Friday morning. It was funny because I was trying to coordinate what time we were doing this. And now like I'm back and I'm 12 hours ahead of you guys. And so we're like, okay, Thursday night at 8. And I'm like, wait, what does that actually mean for me? I don't remember.
12 is pretty good though. You know, it's when I get the most trouble when I'm like even dealing with coordinating like mountain time and Pacific time. And it's like, okay, you are this time. I am this time. We're all good. And so this is your second year at this school. So just how is that going? What is it like to teach in an international school in China?
It's amazing. So we work at an American school, and so it's not much different, honestly, than any of the international schools as far as curriculum wise. I've done the MYP curriculum before, where this school they do a lot of Common Core, so it's incredible. And because it's a private school, we were really lucky, and I happen to, you know, just. I luck out. I get to work in this beautiful two-story black box theater, and I get to take little 6th, 7th, and 8th graders through a little dramatic journey through there. It's magical. We kind of joke all the time. I was like, I work at Disneyland. This is amazing.
You know what? I'm not. That's a pretty fun description of teaching theater. I love that.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And we're going to, I'm very excited actually about what we're going to talk about today, because I know that this is something that teachers are asking us and pleading with us all the time. How do I do tech theater? How do I teach tech theater? And the fact that you're doing it with middle school students, I think is even more exciting and interesting in terms of getting some people some good information. So, why are you doing tech theater with your middle school students?
You know, I've never done much outside of, you know, plugging a sound system, you know, into a small performance, because I've always had the experience of being a middle school teacher. You know, we get forgotten sometimes. And, you know, it's like, oh, great, look, we have a room. Let's have a middle school drama program. And, of course, we're resilient and we persevere and we make it work and beautiful. And then I had the opportunity, because they had just built this brand new theater space at the school. And the high school got a brand new black box theater. And so I inherited the old one, which is only 13 years old. So let's be serious. You know, I mean, I walk in and I'm like, this is amazing. I'm like, look, there's lights and there's this like a legitimate sound system. And, you know, we have like set pieces. Oh my gosh, let's do tech theater. Let's make this happen.
Well, and I really love you're coming from the perspective of that it's not your background, that you don't have a background in tech theater, because everybody, a lot of our folks listening, they're in the same boat, and they are tech theater. Some of them, let alone, have theater backgrounds. So I love that you're like, yep, tech theater. We're going to do tech theater. So it's kind of like you were learning along with them.
Oh my gosh, yes. I was like, all right. So I was a couple of days ahead of the kids, and we had lights that we could use. We were using like these ancient gels and things. And I was like, hey guys, let's do tech theater. Let's look at what makes, you know, a theater performance effective. And instead, let's look at it, what can make it technically effective? And what does that mean? And what does that look like? And, you know, I mean, the discussions that we could have was incredible. It was absolutely incredible to have sixth graders, you know, discuss what can make their scene, you know, their little Red Riding Hood, tiny scenes. Well, how can we make it look technically effective, you know, and what that actually means? And it's like, all right, so I want to use red. Why? Why do you want to use red? Well, you know, I want to make something look really creepy. I'm like, ooh, I like where you're going with this. Let's explore this.
Well, and, you know, first of all, I think the conversation on the tech side is kind of important, because it is such a big part of theater that often gets kind of waylaid. You know, we always have this focus on the onstage stuff. And why not have a focus on what else goes into making, I love the use of the word effective, what else goes into making a theatrical production effective? You know, you're making them think, Josh.
Yes, and yes we are. And then in turn, they're making me think. They're like, this is an issue. How do we solve this issue? And I'm like, how do we solve this issue? You know, and then we kind of take a village approach to how do we overcome this thing. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, what happens when the soundboard goes down? Which happens, you know, what happens when the lighting board goes down? Like, what do we do? And, you know, I mean, it's, as a result, my theater students are so much more resilient. You know, I mean, of course you do, you know, your thumbs up, thumbs down at the end of a unit. And they're like, that might be the most difficult thing I've ever experienced in my life. I'm like, okay, yeah. Are we going to do it again next year? They're like, heck yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, that's good. That means, wow, that means that, it's not only the unit, it's the way that you approach the unit, right? Because, like, you know, it's probably your, let's call it guidance, your guidance, Josh, just like, you know, you brought them through. So let's talk about that. So how did you set up your tech theater unit?
It was really cool, if I do say so myself.
Go ahead.
You know, we looked at first. We watched some videos, you know, like, we're in this brand new room. And it was interesting because we were in this other room at the beginning of last year. And so, you know, your basic, we called it the drama studio. You know, I mean, we were fortunate to have this big open space, but really not a lot of tech stuff. So then we moved over into the Black Box theater. So we all kind of looked at it together. We're like, all right, so guys, let's do this. You know, we've been working on some stuff. And so we looked at the lights first. And so we really just kind of broke it down. We're like, what is tech theater? So, you know, we looked at, you know, we have the possibility of lights, and then, okay, awesome. So let's make that like a little mini thing. And then we have the possibility of sound. Okay, cool. Well, let's not do too much at one time. Let's first look at how can lights contribute to a technically effective performance. You know, we've been trained to say the word curtain when we want to start a show, and then curtain when we're done a show to let the audience know that we are done. All right. So now we can turn the lights off, guys. Let's do it, right? And so it's kind of training that. It's like, so now we can guide the audience through this thing. So we watched a bunch of YouTube videos, and there's a billion videos out there with, you know, examples of what can make a scene look effective. It's like, how can lights contribute to this performance, you know? And then it started opening these conversations about, well, how do we take the audience with us, you know? At this point, it's like, who is the most important, you know, player of a scene. And we're like, well, I guess the audience. I'm like, all right, so how do we make this a performance for them? So they really started thinking about the audience and the audience's role in a scene. It was really quite remarkable, actually.
So when you're talking about looking at the lights, are you doing just the sort of the design question aspect, or are you doing the technical, not necessarily practical, but the looking at the lighting instruments and how those work, or is that just something for another day?
It was all of that, you know. Of
oh,
course,
cool.
I mean,
okay.
At the beginning, I was terrified, you know, to like do this. I'm like, you're 10. All right. Can you handle this? And, you know, I'm kind of thinking it through this. And so first, you know, we take through the concept of, well, let's plan for our success. And so what does a red light do to a scene? Like, what does that make the audience feel? And so I was fortunate enough. I had this light mounted on this block of wood, which had been used for shadow theater in years gone past for the high school students. And so, you know, we took down a bunch of gels. And so I was like, all right, guys, well, I need a group of four. You guys run into the middle of the stage and, I don't know, make a tableau about something. And so then I had other students kind of come around, and, you know, and we looked at what a green gel would do to that scene. And then we looked at what a blue gel would do to that scene, and then a red one, and things like that. And I'm like, why have I never done this before? I could have done this with a flashlight, for heaven's sakes, you know, to really take a look at that. And so then, of course, then we go through the conversations, and then it's like, all right, well, I don't want you guys to break your necks. You know, if you're going to go up into the catwalk, let's talk about safety, you know, like when not to touch the light. And it was quite surprising at how professional these students really were. I mean, like, they were hooked instantly when they walked in the room, you know, and they could see how light could actually contribute to their scene. So we just did some blank scenes and we're like, all right, well, let's talk about mood now, because we can do that. What mood do you want to convey to the audience? They're like, ooh, let's make this really scary, or let's make it look like nighttime or something. And then they went through that and discussed it. And then I said, all right, well, here's the safety. You guys are trained now to use the equipment. Go nuts. make some art, kids.
That's awesome. Okay, so just I'm going to back, because you just said you had put so much in there. And the first thing I would say is to anyone listening, Josh is absolutely right. All of this can be accomplished with a flashlight. You can put a gel on a flashlight. You can do front lighting, back lighting, top lighting, side lighting with a flashlight. And it accomplishes the exact same effect on a very small scale. But like, if you're listening to this going, oh, there's no way. Like, for example, you know, oh, we don't have a black box, so we can't do lighting. Yes, you can. Or my administration would never let middle schoolers up on the catwalk. Okay, so get that flashlight out, and you can do the exact same things that Josh is talking about in a lighting unit, talking about mood and how different gels set the scene. And I love, so like when you talk about that they were trained to work on the light, so did every kid get a chance to like go on the catwalk and like adjust the Fresnels and like put the gels in and hook up everything? Did everyone get to do something like that?
Every single one. So I put the fear in them, like, okay, guys, I mean, like, one, like, we're working with a one chance system here. Like, if you mess up because you're not paying attention, you're gonna have to come sit by me and come hang out, so that they kind of understood what was at stake. We talked about, I mean, there are some serious safety consequences here, you know, if you're goofing around. So what we ended up doing is I had like a water bottle on the floor, and then I had some other like little stage pieces, and I was like, all right, so let's focus a light here, you know, like let's make a hard focus, or let's soften the edges and things like that. So everybody became a lighting technician through this. And, you know, it's very interesting that you said that, you know, like, you know, everybody can do this if they wanted to. And it wasn't until I had this space and I'm like kicking myself in the butt, you know, I mean, tech theater, I always just had the attitude, nah, I can't do it. I don't have the stuff, you know. I'm like, oh, I'm just middle school. No, there's no way. Like now, it doesn't matter what space that I ever have. I will always teach tech theater because I think it gives such a perspective of the village approach to what, you know, drama truly is, like this collaboration piece. Like it completely transformed the way that I approach drama now and the way that my students look at what drama is. Because, I mean, let's face it, we get this, the students that, you know, I mean, at my school, the way the system works is they either do choir or orchestra or band or drama. So really we get everybody. We get the drama enthusiasts, and then we get the ones who are kind of there because they're not, you know, musically gifted or talented or interested or things like that. And so this tech theater unit gave every single student an opportunity to find interest and passion in it. And that was just lights. Like that was just the start of lights where, you know, these kids didn't completely, I had such a profound impact on me as a professional actually.
Oh, that's so awesome. Well, I mean, and when you get right down to it, the tech side can be very creative, you know, like you have, yeah. I think I love light on stage. Like I love seeing, like, light is one of the ways that you can create a world. So you can be, yeah, technical and you can be a technician, but you can also, like, you know, use the other side of your brain. So you're absolutely right. There's a piece for everybody in technical theater.
Yeah, it really is. And because every kid in the class went, like, we rotated through. It was as soon as we did lights, then we started playing with sound. And we watched YouTube videos. In fact, I'll share the link with you guys. It was Mary Poppins, the remix of the trailer where we watched, you know, the happy, airy, fairy, bubbly movie trailer. And then some mastermind genius recreated it to make it a horror movie instead. And I was like, look at what sound can do.
You know
to
what?
Your scenes.
And I'll riff on that. Well, you know what? We'll put a couple of those in the show notes. Cause there's also one for The Shining that makes it look like a sitcom.
Yes. We use both of those examples.
Yeah. And that's a perfect, oh my gosh, that is an amazing example for how sound can change, how sound can impact, eh? Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Everything. And so what we ended up doing is, of course, we record everything in class so that we can then watch it later and be like, all right, what worked? What didn't work? What would we have to do to enhance that? You know, it's like, wow, my goal was to really creep the audience out, but everybody laughed. Yeah, okay, cool. Why? What could you do differently next time to change or mold that experience? And it's just, it's had such a profound impact on the way that my students think about drama. Like, I think, you know, you mentioned it before where it's like, you know, a lot of people look at drama and they think, okay, well, it's Brad Pitt or it's, you know, it's Angelina Jolie. Like that's what drama is. I'm like, no, my friend. No. Yes. They are a part of it. Yes, they are there. But my students now truly look at drama as a professional. You know what I mean? They look at it as a profession and all the pieces that go into it. They've got such a different appreciation of what drama is and what goes into a piece of this. Because I asked them at the end of the year and I'm like, okay, like what has changed? How has your perspective changed about what drama is? And they're like, dude, it's so much work. And they're like, yeah, but it was so cool because I got to design lights. They're like, yeah, well, I got to like hang the lights. And they're like, yeah. And then I got to design this soundboard using my computer and the apps, you know, for sound effects and things like that. Like they were designers. They were technicians. They were, it was incredible.
Wow, what a great exercise too. So for sound, did you have them like searching for sound for music and for sound effects to add to? Did they do blank scenes again?
Yes, they did. Yeah, so they did the A-B scenes, and what happened was they'd be in groups of four or five, where I'd have two people on lights, one person to angle and set and do the designing, one person to run the board, and then with the sound. We use the program called Soundbite, which again, I'll share with you the information with that. It's free. It shuts down every 15 or so minutes, and that's their way of saying, please buy my product, which I would recommend. I've actually since bought it and put it on our Classroom thing. I think it was like $40, where the students can find their music. They source their music from wherever they do. They get an idea, and then they can include it in this computer program or even on their iPads, where they are then controlling the sound effects and the music all from their fingertips. So we just did a little tutorial workshop, and they ended up teaching me things. I'm like, hey, how do you actually make this piece of music into an MP3? Or they're like, oh, well, let's just record it on whatever. So they were finding their own music. They were creating their own music and soundscapes. And it was limitless. And then they would run their own tech. They would have little tech rehearsals, and then they would show their little masterpieces, and we would film them. And the school community is like, what? You did what? And it was really great being able to have conversations then about subtext. And I mean, what a great exercise of what subtext is. They're like, but I can only say these words. And I'm like, yeah, but what can you do to communicate that mood that you are after?
Yeah, love it. I think that's awesome. Okay, so we have light and sound. What did you do next? Yeah.
Oh, well then, we looked at, you know, building scene. You know, it's like, it was piece by piece by piece. And we used the AB scenes, and what these blank scenes did is it just provided this little tiny blank canvas. And I'm like, okay, so let's create a world. Like, what happens when you've got a script, or, you know, you're devising your own piece and you want to create this world, but you don't, the author, the playwright hasn't given you these clues, these details, you know, like some people just don't work like that. So you want to create this world, this environment, you know, it's like, okay, you've got sound and you've got lights, and you can do that once the scene has started and, you know, the performance has begun, but now you have an opportunity to create an environment. As somebody walks into your space, it doesn't matter if you have a black box or you've got any room in a closet or anywhere, how do you create the space? So we looked at, you know, fairy tales and different things like that. We know students, you know, we got all these boxes. I mean, schools are full of this cardboard and boxes, and art department has paint, you know, if you're not fortunate enough to have your own budget or something like that. It's like, cool, let's create this scene. What does it look like? You know, it's no more of just like jumping into the middle of the floor and, you know, having this scene. I mean, yes, that's great and it has its place, but let's create this experience for an audience. You know, where are you? What is your setting? Oh, well, we're in a forest. Cool. What does that look like? I guess trees. Cool. How do you make them? I guess I could just like cut out this thing. I'm like, yes, yes, work with me, people. Go build thine forest. And, you know, and they run and they create and they love it. It's complete mayhem. And I guess that was the biggest thing. Like, as long as I could like keep my cool and just like step back and trust that, you know, these now theater professionals, I call them professionals, you know, from the beginning of this unit, like we have to be professional. We have to make good choices. Yes, we're kids. Yes, we're humans. We're going to be creative. We're going to create these beautiful masterpieces, but we've got to be professional as we're going. And so gradually being able to step back and just kind of watch them work and support them and question them and challenge them and challenge their choices. And it was incredible.
Hmm. Oh, it just sounds, well, so often middle school students they're really given a bad rap that they can't, that they're not thinking for themselves, and we can't put them in a position where they're in charge of their own decision making when it comes to a particular unit. And it just really sounds like they were in charge.
They truly were, and they were so proud of it too.
Oh yeah, of course they were, because it's the I'm sure you could just see the wheels turning about how plays are actually made, and that realization that it's not just let's get on stage and do like some improv games. It's, oh, where am I? Oh, how does the light create a mood? Oh, how does the sound give subtext? You know, and then when you did costumes, like what were they working with in terms of creating costumes for scenes?
So with costumes, we ended up running out of time, to be honest. But we talked about costumes and we used them. They ended up just bringing things in, mixing, matching. We used the costume closet that we had at the school. But it was, again, it was that big picture conversation. The grade eights, we really focused a lot on the use of costumes, where we had designers work in a little company we had for the eighth graders. It's okay, you've gone through all the work to create this beautiful sound plot, you have these beautiful lighting plot, you know, you've really thought through your lights and you've really thought through your staging. What are you wearing? Really? Like, it's now that you've gone through all of this work, now what have you got to wear? Like, what, you know, I mean, and we didn't get into it too much, but you know, we touched on it, you know, color is symbolism, and you know, wearing complimentary things, so you're not super clashy with your set. You're not wearing a purple shirt with a purple background, and conversations like that. But really, again, just looking through it, big picture lens.
Yeah. And then how did it culminate? Like, were you assessing them all along the way, or did at the end, did they have to do a scene from a play and put all these pieces in? So what was the end result of the unit?
Yeah, I did it a little differently with each of the grade levels. They all went through the same stuff. And actually right now I'm kind of thinking about, okay, what am I going to make specific sixth grade? What am I going to make specific seventh and eighth and so on? But what the eighth graders I had do, I took a project-based learning approach through Buck Institute. We had this amazing Buck Institute rep come to our school and teach us this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, drama is project-based learning. We've been using this stuff. We've been doing this stuff for years. I mean, we're the experts, you know, but just putting the jargon into it. So what I did with the eighth graders is I made them, again, a company. And so in each company, they had the players and then they had the designers and technicians. And so what we did with them is I gave them scenes of plays of a play that we did at the school. I thought that was a really cool way to kind of, you know, you've seen what the school play did. Now here's, you go put your own spin, where they then designed everything. They had a production notebook. You know, we did like these walk around, we did these gallery walks and stuff as far as the planning and implementation. So yeah, the culmination for the eighth graders was a scene from a play. Retrospect and feedback, the students really would have been appreciated picking their own scenes. And I'm like, well, cool. I mean, it makes no difference to me. So we did that. With the six and sevens, I actually then had them devise their own scenes. So instead of taking somebody else's work, they created their own work and did everything. I mean, again, they were a theater company. We did everything that we did with the eighth graders, only they created their own thing, where the eighth graders used somebody else's material, trying to kind of then prepare them for their work when they go on to high school.
Awesome. 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 Okay. As we wrap this up, okay, what three pieces of advice would you give to middle school teachers or anybody, actually? It's not limited to middle school, because there's lots of people who are terrified of teaching tech theater. And what would you say to them? What's your advice to say, don't be afraid?
Yeah. My advice, honestly, first of all, is to do it. It's transformed the way that I see drama, and drama is such a creative vessel, and it's so full of all these things that we know it's full of this collaboration, this cooperation, and, you know, critical thinking and everything. And so be okay with not being in control. Be okay with being able to sit back and exploring something together with the kids. We are not the be all end all grand high wizard of drama. And so if you can be cool with that, and then you take a group approach, which kind of is what theater is anyway. And, you know, it's a bunch of these professionals coming together, collaborate, do it. And it's totally cool. And you're going to mess up. And I messed up. And if the students see, they saw me as a collaborator rather than the keeper of all the answers. So yes, to put that, I guess that thought into one, do it. Be okay with not being in control and get messy. Go to YouTube and watch this stuff. I didn't even touch on the makeup work that we did with the students. I am not a makeup expert, but you go to YouTube and watch tutorials. They teach you the fundamentals. And then just like anything, you need practice. And so just play, get dirty. And that's what drama is. Make mistakes and analyze those mistakes until you come up with your own truth. And it's brilliant. You will not be sorry.
Well, that's an awesome place to end. Josh, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been exciting.
My pleasure. It's good to be back.
Thank you, Josh. Before we go, let's do some theater folk news. So Josh is not only a drama teacher, he's also a member of our Drama Teacher Academy, and on top of that is an instructor for the Drama Teacher Academy. So we have in the DTA from Josh a Google Drive in the Drama Classroom course, and upcoming in the summer, everything that Josh has talked about here in this podcast is going to be a DTA course. That means mini units in lighting, sound, costume, makeup, and staging. Doesn't that sound awesome? Sounds awesome to me. Wee. Okay. Awesome. Wee. So head on over to DramaTeacherAcademy, all one word, .com to learn more about what we have to offer in the land of DTA for teachers, professional development, resources, lesson plans, curriculum, link to standards, all the wonderful things. Or you can click the link in the show notes, which are at theaterfolk.com/episode178. Are you doing one of our plays? Take a rehearsal picture and send it to us. Working on a monologue in the classroom? Take a picture and send it to us. Are you a member of the DTA and you're using an exercise? Well, take a 30-second video and send it to us. We want to showcase you. We want to brag about what you do. Where do you send all this? tfolk@theaterfolk.com. Finally, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every second Tuesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk and on the Stitcher app. You can subscribe to the Drama Teacher Podcast on iTunes. All you have to do is search for the word Theater Folk. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.